Jesus, tiny child, little tiny child, who can he be?
What a question we all need to answer. Thank you for asking the question. Our scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The kids are full of excitement about tonight and tomorrow. They know it's Christmas. Why is Christmas special to you? It might be because of the time you spend with loved ones. It might be for the music or the cards or the cookies or the songs. It might be because you get some time off from school or from work. I found that if I ask someone who loves Jesus why Christmas is special, they'll tell me about Jesus. They can identify the tiny child that the choir sang about in the anthem. I found that if I ask someone who follows Jesus about Christmas, they'll tell me that it's not just a story. This is a factual event that actually happened. And they'll tell me about a lot of miracles happening so that people would believe that God fulfilled all of the promises he made long time ago in the Old Testament Bible days about providing a Savior so that people could be eternally restored in their relationship with God. In the scripture that we heard this morning, the Bible said that Joseph was a righteous man. He put God's will and God's purpose first in his life. The scripture we heard says that Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded. In another part of the Bible, it says that God chose Mary and Joseph to be part of God stepping into our world in a new way, in an unforgettable way, a way that was necessary so that we could all people could have the opportunity to believe and to be restored in our relationship with God. Ask someone who's a Christian why Christmas is so special, and they'll tell you about a young engaged couple who traveled to a strange place where they had no friends, and while they were there, that woman, while still a virgin, had a baby who they named Jesus. You'll hear about a strange assortment of visitors, both the poorest of shepherds and the wisest of men who came to call on this small family, and you'll find out that the wise men came from foreign lands bringing very expensive gifts for the child. You'll hear about people who worshiped that child, and you'll hear about King Herod. Herod wanted to kill that baby so badly that he ordered the killing of every child in Bethlehem who was 2 years old and younger. Ask a Christian why Christmas is so important and so special, and you'll hear about God. God who knew that the only way he could reunite us to himself was to be born as a person like us, to grow up and teach us about God's love and grace and forgiveness, and then suffer horribly and die an innocent death on the cross, and then prove himself to be God by rising from the dead, also that each one of us could be saved from our sins and never have to be separated from God again. The first chapter of John explained how God made it possible for us to be restored to him, both now being restored and forever being restored. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word of God is Jesus. And then John went on to explain Jesus' purpose for coming into the world. Verse 12 says it the best. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I want to tell you a true story. It's an event that I have told in some occasions before, but it's an event that happened during the summer of the year 2000. I was teaching 18 kids at a mini camp at Camp Allegheny. It was an overnight camp. We were there for about 3 nights, and I had 18 kids between the ages of 4 and 8 years old. This event that I'm going to tell you about really happened. It was an actual event where faith and life connected in a tangible way, and God's grace and God's presence was visible and evident even to the youngest of my kids. Our lesson at camp that day was about God coming to earth in person to save us from our sins. In the middle of that lesson, a small bird flew into our cabin through an open window. And that little bird flew wildly around the room for a while. And of course, the kids wanted to help catch the bird and put it back outside. And the more those 18 kids tried to help in that small room, the more frantic the bird became. Finally, we managed to sit the kids down and get them to be quiet. And we just watched the bird. After the bird realized that inside that building was not where it wanted to be, the bird tried to get back out on its own. It hit the window several times, trying to find an opening, and we were afraid that little bird would get hurt. One of the adults shut the window and opened the cabin door, and we waited to see what would happen to that little bird. Those 18 kids sat very quietly and silently, and they watched the bird search for its door to freedom. And while they were waiting and while they were watching, I was able to tell the kids that it would have been nice if one of us could have been a bird and could have explained to that little bird how to get out of the building, and that we weren't going to hurt it, we were only trying to help. As it was, being people, we couldn't make the bird understand anything, and we were so big that we knew that we would just scare the bird. All we could do was wait and pray that God would help the bird, because we could not. One of those kids, between 4 and 8 years old, a little boy, suggested that we pray right then and ask God to help the bird. And I suggested that he pray. And he did. And his prayer went something like this. God, please help that little bird get out and not get hurt. Help him to go outside where he can be safe and go home to his family. Thank you, God. Amen. And we sat there, and a few minutes later, The bird went out, and that little boy's prayer was answered. True story. The account in the Bible about Jesus is a true story too. Becoming a person was the only way that God could make us understand his love for us and our need for him. Until God became like us, we would never be able to understand anything about him. And so he became a person. And his name is Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Jesus came to save us from our sins so that someday we could go to heaven to be with him forever. Jesus came to offer us his peace for today. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It goes beyond description. It's not based on outward circumstance. It's not based on inward self-confidence. God's peace comes to us from God. You ask a Christian about Christmas and you'll hear these things. And you'll hear about how Jesus, God became flesh, came for the one single purpose of your salvation and my salvation and the salvation of all people. Salvation from our sins and the opportunity and the assurance that we will go to heaven because of Jesus when we accept his salvation. You'll hear about that actual event when God's human life began in a stable and ended on a cross. And you'll hear that the stable and the cross are really not two separate events at all. Jesus' virgin birth and that began God's perfect purpose and plan in sending Jesus. And his sinless death and resurrection made it possible for God's purpose to be completed. So they really do go together. Jesus' death and resurrection from the dead were necessary to provide the way for our salvation. Jesus' death did not stop God's love or God's power, God's offer of salvation to all of us. Jesus raised from the dead. Jesus shows once and for all time that God is greater than any difficulty, than any illness, than any sadness, and most importantly, God is greater than any guilt that we hold. Christmas is to show us that God wants us. God wants us to turn to him, to tell him our joys and our sorrows and our angers and our uncertainties. God wants us to turn to him and tell him our loves and our hatreds, our fears, our loneliness, our hopes, and our dreams. God wants us. And God wants us to confess our sins to him. God wants us to turn to him in honesty, to tell him about our shortcomings and our failures and our regrets and our falling into temptation, our selfish pride, our perversions, our rebellions. And God wants us to tell him about our sins. Mostly, God wants us to know that his love for us is greater than any sin that we've committed. And God is not nearly so interested in your past as he is in your future. Jesus came because God wants us to go to heaven when we die, and he begins now to give us his peace and the power of his presence today. That's why Jesus came. That's why we celebrate Christmas. But what about that phrase, peace on earth, goodwill to men? How can we receive God's peace at such a busy time as Christmas? Well, Jesus never promised that we wouldn't be busy. Jesus never promised that we wouldn't experience conflict in some form or another. Jesus promised us his peace, a peace that passes understanding and a peace that is a quiet and confident trust and a resolve to be obedient in our lives to our loving and gracious Almighty God, no matter what. Jesus' peace is the anchor in the storm that holds our salvation secure. Our world has a sin problem. That's why countries are at war. But that hymn, "A Little Town of Bethlehem," the third verse of that hymn, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. The words of that song, they're true at Christmas. They're true at every time of the year. The Lord and Savior of this world is with you, especially at Christmas. No, that's not true. The Lord and Savior of this world, we celebrate most at Christmas, but he is especially with you when you desperately miss a loved one who is not with you. God is with you. And Jesus promised that he would remain with us and give us his peace in our hearts and in our homes and in our church. And we need to continue to pray for God's peace. We need to continue to pray for purity. We need to be careful to not be easily sidetracked and to always put our confidence in the Lord. Jesus promises our peace, his peace to us. And we receive Jesus' peace only as we turn to God in prayer and only as we seek to obey God. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us change our ways so that God can make us righteous like Joseph and willing like Mary. Jesus' peace leaves when we refuse to repent and refuse to change. Our lives as Christ followers, our lives are an exercise in change by the power of God. And as the body of Christ, as Christ followers, we are here to help each other maintain Christ's peace by encouraging each other and praying for each other and nurturing each other and helping each other to live grace-filled lives. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We sing about Christmas. You know, without Jesus, we don't have Christmas. Jesus is the one who makes Christmas special. We still have presents. We still have decorations. We still eat too much. We still listen to the music on the radio. We still have all of those festivities. But without Jesus, we don't have Christmas. We don't have God with us. God loves you. God loves you more than life itself. Emmanuel means God with us. So my prayer for each of you is that this Christmas finds you in the presence of our Lord Jesus. Confess him as your Lord. Hail him as the King of your heart. Merry Christmas and glory to God. Amen.